Are you ready for two aging mid-level Hollywood celebrities who think a podcast is a good idea and who ask the eternal question to fill the hole in their soul? Did we do it? Here they are, Cage and Kevin!
I record in my sleep. No, I record in my sleep. In 5, 4... And 3, 2, and here we go.
Did we do it? That's the question that we ask on our podcast.
Did we do it?
Oh, yeah. What do we got, Kevin?
Well, we have a very special friend.
Really?
Who?
An old castmate of mine. Little show called Hello Ladies.
Jen Garner?
Nope. Wrong show. He is on SNL right now.
What?
That's right. Dan Aykroyd. No. Not Chevy Chase. Not Garrett Morris. But a hilarious and kind actor, comedian, improv master, Kyle Mooney.
Kyle Mooney is on our show. Oh, he's on our show.
He's on our show.
Noticing he's been on forever. He's like Keenan now. He's like one of those guys that's just been on forever.
He's a lifer.
But you know, the SNL, I catch it here and there.
Yeah.
It's just so part of the space-time continuum. It's hard.
I'm a devotee. I have a little SNL text chain with my sisters. We discuss, we analyze, we talk about what we love, what we didn't like. Just something about it. I'd like to grab my coffee Sunday morning and take a look. I don't watch it live anymore. Old Man River, I must go to sleep. But I do like to watch it Sunday morning. So it's Sunday morning live-ish for me. It's live-esque. Yeah.
Does anyone watch anything live? Does anyone know what time it is?
Well, people watched the Oprah interview of,
Don't get me started. You know, sometimes a news story comes along. And I don't know if I'm alone, but it just captures my imagination.
Yeah.
Like none before. And the Meghan and Harry.
I gotcha.
Oprah interview. Yeah. I mean,
what was it about it that snagged your brain?
I guess because, like a lot of Americans, it's the love hate with the crown.
Right.
It's so silly. It's medieval dress up, it's cosplay. How do you pronounce it? Cosplay.
I think it's cosplay. It's funny you say that because we do have someone in the waiting room. Before we get to Kyle, we have the actor Josh O'Connor who played the young Prince Charles on The Crown. Let's bring him in. Great to have you here. Congratulations, Josh,
on your
nomination, on your win, your Golden Globe win.
Playing a character so well known throughout the Commonwealth was a challenge.
Did you watch a lot of YouTube videos?
I did, as many as I could. Much on developing my power fade as much as anything else. I'm into golf now.
Oh, wait, no, wrong videos. You know, don't watch YouTube videos to improve your golf game, by the way. I don't know if you ever have, but it seems like at the time, every time I'm going, that's it. That's the breakthrough I've been looking for. I don't know. I can't wait to get...
Hard to execute what you learn on YouTube into the swing. Yeah.
Well, as you know, I probably said, you know, I don't know what I've said on this show before, but you can learn anything on YouTube.
Mm.
You can do brain surgery. You can fix a car. You can build a building. You could fly an airplane. There's a YouTube video specifically for you. You could probably learn how to do a podcast.
Maybe we should look at that.
Well,
called Good Neighbor, which I've seen live with Beck Bennett and Nick.
Saw him live.
Yeah, at UCB. He was a regular writer and performer at Upright Citizens Brigade. Matt Walsh, who was on the show.
The creator of UCB.
He wrote, co-wrote, and starred in this movie that I just watched the other night called Rigsby Bear.
Oh, my God. Which, from 2018.
Yeah, that was your homework.
Right. I'm going to pretend to have watched it. I'm good at this.
You're going
to
say
I'm like,
should we practice it?
I'm like, what's
so Kyle Mooney, we saw Rigsby Bear. Kyle and I saw Rigsby Bear.
Oh, it was wonderful. How challenging was that? Did you write and direct and star in that yourself?
he didn't direct. He didn't direct. That's good though. Lead with that. Like you thought.
Well, right. Once you knock him off balance with the compliments, where is he going to go? Oh yeah. No, thanks, man. Oh no, I didn't direct it. Really? Because it seemed like your hand was all over it. Kevin, have I told you about this covers album Jack and I are working on? We're covering the Beatles on the covers album. We're doing a medley of Abbey Road, which is a song that we perform live many times for years.
Yeah.
You have to get permission from the writer if you change some of the lyrics, and we change the lyrics. So now we have to get permission from Paul.
From Sir Paul. Call him. Do you have his number?
That's the weird thing. Is
Jack's got there.
Our manager is friends with manager.
With Michelle Fleisch.
Manager and has the number. And they said, well, you know, because we're the D and we.
You're calling Paul McCartney.
I'm
going
to do it right now.
Oh, dude.
I'm nervous about it. It might be.
Right now? Yeah. Yeah, but what if he says no? That's embarrassing.
Hello. Hello. Sir Paul? Hello, is this Sir Paul?
That's right. It's Paul. Who's this?
This is Cage. It's Kyle from Tenacious D.
Black from Tenacious D.
No, it's not Jack. It's Kyle. I'm his partner.
Yes. Oh, his life partner.
Well, we're in the band. I mean, you know, it's been a long time. But
right, of course.
I hope
course.
this isn't awkward. I just
yes. Have you listened to McCartney 3, my new album that just came out? 2020, I play all the instruments.
Of course, you're a genius, Sir Paul.
Of course.
I wanted to ask you, we do a cover of Abbey Road, a medley off Abbey Road, your quintessential, iconic, seminal record.
You know, Kyle, when we made Abbey Road, we went into the studio, right? And then George Martin was there and he brought in the guys with the instruments and everything. I thought, what's all this?
We had to, they're musicians, I think they're called.
So what can I do for you?
What we need is, I don't know, did you hear the track? We just looking for permission. Did you get a chance to hear it?
You know, Michelle Fleischley sent it over. And by the way, I'm sorry if I don't sound like Paul right now. I've got a bit of a cold.
That's why I don't sound.
I know, but I've got a cold. I'm recovering.
You sound like his ball.
I know, but I'm recovering from something, and it's I'm fine though. I'm on the up and up. Have you heard McCartney 3? I play all the instruments. I heard your cover, and it's wonderful. Can I hear a bit of it from you live right now? If you play it for me live, I would make my final decision.
All right. Well, I don't have Jack here, so it's a duet. We do.
Jack's there. Hello, Jack.
Jack's not here. Give me your money. You only give me your phony, baby. Oh, I'm so nervous, Paul. Anyway,
oh, keep really going. Good. That's wonderful. I was just getting into it.
You're
nervous around me. I like to put people at ease. You know, I know I'm Paul McCartney, but
you seem just like a regular it's not a big deal. Person. That's so
what?
Special.
Yeah, I'm just a regular guy. Right. That happens to be in the biggest band. I'll send you pictures of my apartment growing up. It was just a little apartment, just like yours, up in the Bay Area.
Well, I grew up in a house, Paul. And so did you, according to your
That's what house. I mean, in my house. When I'll send you pictures of my house growing up.
A flat, they call
a flat.
It.
A flat. It's my flat. Would you like me to play the instruments on your album? I played all the instruments on mine, you know.
Well, I don't know if you don't have to do that. You're famous. You're a legend. We don't, you know.
Thank you. Thank you. Jack and Kevin, did we do it?
Jack's not on it.
What?
It's me. No, Jack, we're trying to get him as a guest. He listens to everyone, apparently.
Oh, he won't be a guest. No, no, no.
He's probably talking busy to him right now. Jack, how are we doing? How are we doing, okay, man?
Your call has been disconnected.
This is this podcast has gone so off the rails.
It really is. It's our most irreverent podcast. And I didn't even know this was a thing, but we're on whatever that means, Netflix now. Like,
what do you mean you're on Netflix?
I guess Netflix is, you can watch us on Netflix, which I always be seeing like.
The HBO shows from the
1990s? No, the Pick of Destiny, our movie.
Oh, yes, I did see that.
Did you saw it? So it's like.
I saw something on like NME or one of those publications was like, and they even said like, in a perfect world, we would have received three of these movies. So they were giving you love. Like, we should have had three Tenacious D movies. But for those who don't know what we're referring to, in 2005, the great movie Tenacious D, 2006, Pick of Destiny, directed by Liam Lynch, is now available on Netflix. Check it out. There's a host of guests, actors in it, Tim Robbins. We've got Ben Stiller. We've got Meatloaf. We've got Colin Hanks. We've got J.R. Reed. We don't have Kevin Wiseman, which is still a little sore spot.
We got Brian Kite, though.
Yeah, why did I not get in there? I don't understand. It still rubs me the wrong way to this day.
Where were you? I don't think we were as close. We weren't that close yet.
No, we weren't as close. I missed my moment in the sun.
Wait a minute. I just Googled, and Google has it.
Dreaming of being a rock god. Midwesterner JB heads to California, where he crosses paths with Idler.
KG, what's an Idler? Is that like a slacker?
It's a slacker. Well, it's like a beat. I think it's more of like a beat reference, you know.
Idler. Hold beat on. Poet. Hey, Siri.
Define Idler.
Eric Idler?
As a noun, it means a habitually lazy person. You want to hear the next one?
I certainly do not.
What? Yeah, but that's kind of the Cage, you know, when we first, you have the long hair, Venice Beach, Pick a Destiny. That's what that song is about. Where I met a man named Cage. Can we play a little of that, Carter?
Because it's a pick, a destiny.
You don't get a second chance
with Kyle Mooney. What do I refer to you as during the chit chat?
It's all gonna be part of the comedy. What he doesn't know is this is the biggest moment.
He's here. Should we play him in, or is that's too much?
It's too much. Here we go.
All right, he's coming in.
Have we done it?
He's coming in. There he is.
He looks fantastic. Hold on. Who's that?
What's up, brother?
Hello.
Chilling. How are you guys?
Very good.
Good, man. You sound good.
Is this okay? Yeah, I got a mic set up here, so you tell me.
Well, let me see your mic. I'm a technical.
Let's take a look. Kyle Gass.
Check one. Check two. Check three. Check four.
Now, we were just discussing during the course of this hang, what do I refer to you both as?
Kevin went on a whole diatribe. How are we going to possibly, with three people and two of them named Kyle, how is he possibly going to differentiate between the two of us?
Do you have any ideas?
Do you have any ideas?
Well, I feel very comfortable referring to you as Kyle.
Right.
I feel very
comfortable referring to you as Kyle.
I feel like the last names, Kevin, if you're really struggling, would be the
Mooney and go Gas.
Mooney and Gas sounds like a
bankers.
Now, Mooney, I was just trying to think when the last time I saw you. Maybe shortly, maybe you had been doing SNL maybe for 2 years. I came to do the Blacklist and we went to that bar downtown. It was
via the text. I saw the communication about hanging out. What was the bar? I don't fully recall, to be honest.
I feel like it was your local bar. Weren't you? Don't you live downtown?
Interesting.
In the West Village, yeah. I went for those down the hatch, which is kind of like a fratty. Did we walk downstairs? Do you remember it visually?
Yeah. Walk downstairs. It had a little bit of the Laverne and Shirley where you saw the people, just their legs walking by.
Right. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like a basement bar. But what year was that? If you went back deep dive into the text, that was probably around 2014.
Yep.
2015. You've been living in New York. I can't believe how long you've been out there now. You've been doing the show for like 8 years. Is that right?
This is season 8. Are we recording right now?
Always recording, Kyle.
Always recording. Oh, you didn't put on your comic persona. All over again. Start over.
Of course, New York's known for the pizza, right?
And the rats, Kyle. And the rats. Huge rats. This is just a hang. We just hang out. There's no real.
It was good. Subtle. I like that. I think I've heard that done on so many podcasts, and I don't feel like I've ever been a part of it or feel. Felt the trick of it at all, and this time I got to feel like it was seamless.
Did you feel bamboozled by my gentle...
Can we do the presentational podcast now?
All right. Let's welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome Kyle Mooney.
That doesn't do the podcast.
No, you're like a regular Keenan now. How many seasons has Keenan been on? He's been on like 35.
Yeah, he's coming up on... this might be 20 or maybe next season. He's at 18 maybe, something like that.
Wait, doesn't he have his own show now? Didn't I see that?
Yeah.
So he can't do both. Can he do both?
He's been doing both.
He's moonlighting.
Yeah, this week, I mean, rather this year, he's been, him and Chris Redd, who's also on the show, they've been shooting out here in LA. I'm actually currently in LA just because we're on hiatus. But he's been in LA. He'll like shoot up till Friday and then fly to New York and do the show on Saturday.
Wow, man. How are you digging living in New York? I mean, you're a California kid.
I like it. I never assumed that I would end up there, to be totally honest. At one point, both my brothers lived out there and I loved visiting them. But I like it. It's cool. I do miss California a lot.
Now, Kyle, I have to say that I too have two older brothers. Not only do we have the same name, but I am the last of three.
What are their names?
Matt and Mitchell. What are yours?
We've got a
California. Both. Yeah. Into comedy, a little outside the mainstream, maybe. I think there could be a connection. I'm old enough to be your father, but what I'm proposing is a Broadway show entitled Kyles.
California Kyles.
Wait a minute. I didn't think of that.
I'll follow your lead. I actually am one of those persons who's willing to do anything just to be on stage. I love performing.
Now, wait a minute. We were both class clowns.
Yes, were you voted class clown in your wiki in high school?
I was. I campaigned for it. It was so pathetic.
What part of California are you from?
NoCal, Los Lomas High School in Walnut Creek.
The East Bay. Nice. And you're San Diego, Mooney, and I'm Los Angeles. So we've covered all the California hubs, the comedy hubs.
Guys, this is so cool. Kevin. What's better than a documentary?
I don't know. What?
Documentary.
Whoa.
I was just setting up. Wait, tell them about that movie we just saw. It's incredible.
We just saw an incredible movie called Seniors. It's a new award-winning documentary from director Gorman Bichard. It's a full feature-length documentary.
Arf.
Full of love, hope, and second chances. This is the animal welfare film, Kyle, everybody can watch.
It left me grinning ear from ear.
It shows you how old dogs really can teach us new tricks.
We're gonna watch it.
Stream Seniors, a documentary, now for free on Tubi and Vudu.
Can't beat that price.
Come here, who's a good boy? He's a good boy.
Arf!
Did you start in the theater or in improv, or how did you, what was your thing in high school? Music?
Yeah, I was in a hip hop group in high school called Instruments of Intelligence with my friends Dave and Robert. And so I got really into like underground hip hop, and we were kind of positioning
ourselves.
Did you
hear some of your song titles? Could you hear like some of your best song titles?
Well, the album was Represent Difference was the name of the album.
I like it. Represent Difference.
Paradise was a song. We're Back was the name of a song. But like our whole thing was just kind of talking about how underground we were and how conscious we were. And
are you underground if you have to reference that you're underground? That's really,
I think I was really just being 16 years old. It was
All right.
It's pretty cringeworthy now listening to it.
I was in a band in high school called Radical Faction. And so I think we had a similar kind of attempt to be the Sex Pistols of Encino, California.
I didn't know there was a band before your other one entitled Christopher Robin.
In college, yeah, that was my second band. Based on the classic Winnie the Pooh character.
Of course.
The lead singer was my girlfriend at the time, Ildi Modrovic, who now runs the show Lucifer on Netflix, by the way. So she, what's up, Ildi? She's doing
Brag.
Great. I know, right? Well, no, she's not my girlfriend anymore, nor have I been on Lucifer. So I'm not bragging. She's doing great.
Man, that was a flex.
Not really.
That was a bow flex.
No, it wasn't. I feel like you were one of the forefathers, you know, the founding fathers of like the YouTube.
Trailblazers.
Yeah, like how did you come up with that character, the genius character of the man on the street? And were you ever in fear of your life is really my question. Because I revisited, by the way, Kyle, I revisited some of those YouTube videos and showed them to my 13-year-old. And she couldn't believe the questions that you were asking people on the street at the Lakers championship parade in 2009, Miami Heat championship parade. You were on the field at Candlestick, the old Candlestick in San Francisco. I mean, how did you come up with that idea, that character?
Well, that you're saying very sweet things, Kevin, and I do really appreciate it.
That's amazing.
Kevin has a sweet side.
Dave McCary is the person I grew up with, who was in Instruments of Intelligence, and kind of essentially directed all of the videos we made for the internet. I was in this sketch group called Good Neighbor.
Good Neighbor, yeah.
Mostly my friends from USC. It was
Which I've seen. I saw you at UCB. It was great.
That's right. So Beck Bennett, who's on SNL with me currently, he was in the group, and I did improv with him at college, as well as my friend Nick Rutherford. But yeah, Dave is big into sports and sort of was just like, there's this big championship parade. We should go down there and try to shoot something. Not really knowing.
This was the first Laker?
Yeah, the Lakers was the first one, yeah. It was sort of a character I had been sort of doing around the house. We all lived together, which was basically just a dude who doesn't really know anything about sports. and we kind of just fooled around in it and found something. And then I feel like with each video, it kind of progressed and the character developed. But yeah, it is definitely terrifying to some degree. And I never, ever looked forward to it.
What made you? Because I think at that point,
that's how Kyle Gass feels about this podcast, by the way. He's terrified.
It really struck a chord. Now, when you get into that feeling.
He hates me, by the way. I know he's giving me love, but he hates me.
Weird thing was I liked him before we started the podcast.
No, he hates me. Yeah. Anyway, go on, Kyle. I interrupted. Gass,
what gets you through that, like that uncomfortable going to the dentist? And then, but then knowing that through it, there could be some comic gold and then you feel. Great.
Yeah, there's both the feeling of like at some point during the day, like, oh, it feels like, oh, this is going to play or this will work. And so that brings some relief and that could sometimes make the day a lot easier. But it is a lot of like when I was doing, I'm like kind of counting the moments like, okay, we must have enough for a video now.
And half the comedy for me was the fact that nobody actually, most people didn't want to speak to you, but then there's also the side of humanity that like, oh, there's a guy with a microphone and a camera. I will kind of contribute. I want to be on whatever this is.
I want to be part of it.
I think overall, most people were warm. I would say like if we saw 50 people in a day, there would be like one or two people who would be sketchy, but it was overall pretty nice. I feel like also like there were a decent amount of people who wanted to help me who could see that I was struggling, and that was very sweet.
Yeah, there was like that dude at the Miami one who was like, I'll get you, you in a second. You know, he was the other reporter. Oh, just right. Give you 1 second.
Yeah, that one, I must have, I haven't watched them in a while, but that one maybe I did see because I do feel guilty about that. Like, oh, this guy actually is trying to do his job. And I'm fully barging in on it.
Yeah, but you're just the commitment. And I appreciate that because I know I would have caved and been like, dude, I'm so sorry. I'm just doing a comedy bit. You know, at some point I would have admitted.
Well, Well, first of all, we do it for you, Kevin. And
what the?
Thank
wait,
you.
I've got
and, my, my and now my daughter and now my 13-year-old daughter.
I have to give my comedy testimonial. The first time you came into my transom was Todd in Inside SoCal Cool Kid. And then it became the thing we watched, my bandmates and I, we must've watched it 50 times. And
you're saying on the tour bus, you would pop on the Inside?
I think it was at the rehearsal space, but it just became the thing.
Oh.
It was just, there were so many layers and it was just a masterpiece. Is there any story behind that? Or
just that I'm from San Diego and those are the essentially kind of the dudes who are there and who I'm friends with. And like, I'm obsessed with, I feel like when we started doing those, which I don't know what year that was. I imagine 2010 or something like that, but there wasn't a ton of representation. I don't want to speak on representation, but the SoCal bro was not seen within like the culture that I recall.
It seemed totally fresh. Yeah. And totally authentic. And you knew that person was, knew the culture for sure.
Yeah, I'd be like the Jersey bro is definitely pretty prominent, but yeah, I love like seeing dudes like that. They dress and act like the dudes I went to middle school with, but in 1997, but are still dressing and acting like that today. The style hasn't changed at all, really. And getting them to talk about anything serious is always, I think, pretty fun.
Yeah, him trying to struggle with his feelings and really not understanding how to come to grips with them. It was such a plea for help. The truth was played so well. It was great.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
I love it.
Did you, when you auditioned for the show for SNL, was that one of the, did you bring that to the audition?
Did Todd make it to the audition?
I've got to remember. I auditioned twice. I feel like he definitely made one, maybe the first round. I feel like the second round I tried to broaden things up, or like maybe I didn't go as niche in some way or another. Mm-hmm. Though we ended up getting that, we did a couple SoCal videos for the show, so it was on the show, which was cool.
Did you audition for the show while we were doing Hello Ladies, or was it right after?
It was before, and it was essentially like I auditioned, I think, the summer 2012, and then by the time we wrapped, the show had expressed interest essentially in like our group and potentially like kind of bringing us over to do videos and stuff. So I auditioned then.
Did anyone say we want you to be the new Lonely Island?
I was just going to say that. Like
nobody ever said that.
Those words
to me directly. And I'm glad they didn't, because that's too intimidating, but yeah. And that's kind of how we started at the show. I feel like sort of trying to live in the video realm, but yeah, nobody wants to be in the shadows of Lonely Island. I feel like,
was Sandberg still on? No, when did he leave the show, around that time?
I kind of came on right at in a transitional year. The year before, Bill Hader, Fred Armisen, Jason Sudeikis had left, and then the year prior, I think Andy and maybe Kristen had left. I'm not even totally sure. I mean, it's always exciting in its own way. And it's always the one take nature of it is crazy, you know? And like,
yeah. Do you like that? Is that something that appeals, or do you more, cause you work in both realms?
It's in a best case scenario, I'd have like another try sometimes.
Right.
But I do like that. Like, it is such a distinct muscle and something that I don't think, if this show didn't exist, I don't see any other world where I'd be practicing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Where would you need that?
Well, yeah. I mean, a little bit with Good Neighbor. I mean, that's ostensibly what you guys were doing.
Yeah, but sure.
I've known people over the years in and around the show, and it seems
How many times have you guys played on the show, Gas?
The first time we were on, I think I told this, we took beta blockers. We were so freaked out.
Oh, wow.
We were like, yeah, whatever.
What does that feel like when you take those?
It really was relaxing. It slows down your heart rate. So it's,
but yeah, it didn't affect your plan. It didn't affect your.
No, I felt fine. I was like, oh, yeah, okay. Now we're just like rehearsing.
I mean, I don't know if you guys experience this as performers, but it is that weird thing of like, it hits you at different times. You know what I mean? And like, you never know when it's going to hit you. And sometimes when you think it would, it doesn't, and vice versa. When like you have, I feel like sometimes when you have like a single line in the show is when it's the toughest. You
know, yes.
That's the hardest, isn't it?
I felt that way a lot, even on, going to go back to Hello Ladies a lot, because I feel like my character had, I kind of would pop in with like a one liner, bleep, blop. Can I try to, yeah, can I massage it a little bit? And I remember making Steven laugh the most when I would just, and you did this as well, like respond to something he was doing with a, oh yeah, oh, that's right, or whatever. Because it's like, we're listening. And that's
that was
I can imagine.
For you on that show, by the way.
I loved that. That was such a,
that was a awesome, funny turn of that type of character, you know.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. That was truly special. And like, I had never, that was the first time me doing anything in that, like that big, or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not performance wise, but like to have a platform like that was truly special and like pretty crazy.
Had Steven seen the Man on the Street stuff, or it was just a straight audition? And then,
yeah, I think, yeah. But then I added, you know, it was one of the, that was, I feel like when I was making those videos and trying to work as an actor, there was like a turn that happened at some point where it's like you walk into a commercial audition and you're just anybody else. But then at some point it's like, oh, this person's seen a video I made or something like that. It just made the whole process so much more helpful, you know, and easier for me.
Kyle, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Are you looking for shoes?
Oh, I love shoes.
Sure. More specifically, are you looking for a fresh pair of sneakers, kicks?
Well, I like sneakers, but I'm kind of into the vintage, retro, classic designs.
Really? Rare sneakers?
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of a thing.
Well, I know where you can find them.
What?
eBay.
What? eBay?
That's right, eBay. Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, you can find the exact shoe you're looking for at ebay.com/sneakers today. A team of experienced sneaker authenticators will verify the box, the logo, the stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair that you, Kyle Gass, have been eyeing. And it also protects sellers with a verified return process. Give us a little jingle jangle for eBay.
eBay, they're coming through on eBay. On eBay, they're gonna get your shoes for you.
Go to ebay.com/sneakers today. eBay, the world's best destination for discovering great value and unique selection. That was our first ad.
All right, now I know we got it.
Oh, yeah. Now back to the show. Did we do it?
I like YouTube videos. I feel like they're good.
Of course.
Watch anything you want.
And by the way, that's the only place we can see the Cut for Time classic Kyle Mooney videos, which I, again, have to say, that's funnier. I mean, I don't know if Lauren's listening to this. He probably is, right?
Of course he is.
Let's put those on, because oftentimes I feel like those are the best entries into that week's show. How do those get cut for time? Is it really a time issue?
You know, it's a mixed bag. Like, sometimes it is, like, it's slotted to play, and it's slotted as the last piece in the show, and truly things stretch out, things run longer, and then it won't make it. Sometimes, too, like, I feel like there are some pieces that get cut where, like, as with anybody on the show, that you're just pretty frustrated because you feel like that performed well. I feel like it would have been a good addition to the show, that week's show as a whole.
Yeah. You're talking about a live piece or a pre-recorded
piece? Yeah, yeah. Both, absolutely both. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I will say though that like some of those that are now online that of mine that didn't make the show, like they didn't necessarily perform well for the studio audience at the dress rehearsal. Like there are times where I feel like it's pretty justified where it's like, well, I like it. I think people will like it. Like who find it, but it didn't necessarily prove itself to earn a spot on the show. though there are times where the opposite is true, where like that performed well. It also felt like it deserved a spot maybe early in the show. Like it's kind of, as with any of these things, it's a grab bag and you kind of never know.
There's well, no- like Kyle and Friends, for instance, the piece that you just posted.
Right.
You know, I thought that was timely. It was funny. It kind of plays to your vulnerability that you lean into so well, which I think a lot of the players on the show don't, that's not their thing, that desperation to be liked. But for instance, did you know that was going to be cut?
Yeah, that played pretty well.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, that was one, I think it was one of those scenarios where that was slotted at the very end of the show and
didn't make it
long. Yeah.
And maybe like, you get more views because it's a cut for, you know what I mean? More yeah, people see it.
I can't tell. I mean, like, I also wonder if like there's, you know, a thought that like, oh, you know, there is an audience out there to watch this stuff. So like with some things that are on the show and that get cut, you might never see them, be it live or video, because like either maybe the topical nature of it doesn't yeah. make sense, or like maybe it's done in some sort of sloppy way that people, they don't want to show it. But I think there is also maybe, I don't want to say an assumption, but like the thought that like, oh, well, this has a place to live if you know, worst case scenario.
A place where you're going to get a lot of honest feedback, you know, and viewership, the old YouTube.
Yeah, I don't, I could tell you nothing about feedback because I haven't read a YouTube comment in.
Was that a sort of a conscious journey not to read them, or did you read them? And then...
Yeah, I mean, like I would definitely read them when I was actively making videos prior to the show. And right. It was just that thing where like,
you feel too good or too low, depending on.
Well, there would be like so many nice things said. Like truly, right. it would feel like 200 nice things to one negative thing that could be as vague or as broad as possible. But it sure. just hit me in such a specific place and feels so real.
All right, but that being said, where do you like to get any sort of feedback, or is it just all like a personal muse and whatever floats your own boat, you're saying that works?
Yeah, I think that like if, you know, friends reach out, persons I've worked with, I mean, every now and again you can tell when like a piece feels like it performed in a way that you would hope. I feel like I get an idea of like, oh, this one is making some sort of noise or doing something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or yeah.
Did you ever add this line into one of your sketches? Yeah, that's the ticket. Just throw it in there. I just
as an homage.
Yeah, great. That's cool. Maya Rudolph, I'll post you next week. That's I'm gonna pitch that.
So the other sketches that I just wanted to just say really hit home for me were the high school are all the high school theater sketches, because I was in drama in high school and
you were? No way.
Yes. But the commitment to those shows, I mean, who were the writers on those sketches?
Those were Chris Kelly, Sarah Schneider, who were formerly head writers, and I want to say potentially AD and Kate McKinnon, AD Brian and Kate McKinnon were also on those. Yeah, those were always fun to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like everybody, I did like a minimum, I did like, I guess my junior year and senior year of high school, I did drama, but I feel like mostly everybody else is deeper into it. So I have things to pull from, but I feel like Beck, for instance, was his thing he is constantly still claiming and bragging about is his performance as Jean Valjean in Les Miserables. Like, probably, I get maybe his senior year. I don't know.
I'm sure he was great. Yeah. He seems like a Jean
Valjean. I've seen video. Yes, he was good. Yeah. He was good.
Video doesn't always translate plays. In theater.
Always theater video. Yeah. It's always good.
But yeah, those were always fun. I agree. Yeah.
Is there a time, you know, like something that you've written that you feel like, God, I wish I had made it on, or like, I wish we could get this idea on, because your stuff's always, you know, comes from the alternative comedy.
Yeah. I mean, there's like certainly pieces. There's a piece, for instance, that I probably brought to the table read like, you know, three or four separate seasons that like I was really into doing. That was a video piece, and it would always play pretty well. Maybe it was just there were too many locations or something like that that it just didn't. Yeah.
What is the idea?
Makes sense to take the risk on like something that could just play like, that's kind of fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But now I feel like I'm going to try to make that separately from the show. So there, I mean, the idea has become less and less precious over years where like, certainly there are things that I wish that were made, but I can't even recall one right now that like sticks in my brain as like, I have to do that.
Did you think you'd do the show this long? And what do you think is your ideal gig after this, after SNL?
I don't know.
Jean Valjean?
Going into it in terms of like length. Yeah, I don't know. Like I mean, 8 years feels like a lot. And I feel like 7 is maybe pretty typical. But at this point, it's like, it's a really good job. Like
Right.
You're killing it. Yeah.
Oh, that's, thank you. But I just like, have something to do. I mean,
right.
In terms of outside, I mean, I'm excited to do so many things. I co-wrote and acted in a movie a couple years ago called Brigsby Bear. And
Brigsby Bear.
Really exciting.
Kevin and I just both watched it for research.
We did some research.
All right, Kevin waiting. Watched it.
We were waiting to pull the Brigsby. I have some questions about it, but I want to let
you. Well, I want to thank you guys for watching. That means a lot to me.
Of course.
Yes. And my dear, dear friend, Faith, who wanted me to tell you specifically how much they love the show, tears at the end, the movie, excuse me. And so I'm passing on that compliment.
Well, thank you, Faith.
Passing on tears. It's great.
Tears. Yeah. Yeah. It's a very beautiful movie, man.
You know, they said, thanks. Make them laugh. Make him
well, it was funny, but it was also surprisingly.
Yeah, it was.
Gut punching.
An awesome experience. We shot it in Utah,
like Provo, or down the south there.
Pretty much around Salt Lake.
Around Salt Lake,
and it was like it was an ideal scenario where we were just stuck there for like a month. And
did you see any Mormons? Did you meet any Mormons?
Yes. Though I don't know that.
What were they like?
Anybody claim themselves as that?
Well, they don't drink coffee. I did a movie in Utah and I showed up in the morning and I was like, hey, could you grab me a coffee? They're like, oh, we don't have, but there's a Starbucks like 20 minutes away. I was like, all right, I'll see you in 40 minutes. You know, because you gotta come and bring the, that's all I need is coffee. You know?
Yeah, at the time they had very, I don't know if it's the same now, but specific alcohol laws. So like they needed to prepare the booze like behind a curtain or something like that. They can't make a drink for you in front of you.
Was that hard to work without alcohol, Kyle?
well, you know, I mean, I'm drunk right now, so.
And you're hilarious. Wait, so I noticed you have a fascination with 80s television nostalgia. Even in those videos, you kind of pop in images of 80s icons, the Man on the Street interviews. And then I understand you collect VHS tapes, I read, which I did not know, from that era. And then this movie is steeped in kind of 80s television nostalgia, which made me think of my childhood, the 70s, Davy and Goliath, Sigmund and the Sea Monster, Land of the Lost, which left this like searing imprint, good and kind of scary in my brain. So what is it about that era of television that you kind of keep circling around? It's interesting to me.
Yeah, I think probably the same thing that you're referring to. It just like made such an impression. Somebody recently, maybe as a family member, said this to me, like, is the reason you're so obsessed with that stuff and like churning out material that's referencing it because like your parents divorced in like the early 90s or something like that. And that's like the last moment that you were like fully carefree or something. Like it could have some sort of deep psychological thing associated with it, but that stuff is all very comforting to me.
Did you see The Cable Guy, Kyle?
I did see The Cable Guy. Yes.
Well, do you remember the character was obsessed with television?
Obsessed with TV. Yeah. As many of us are.
How old were you when your parents split?
I think they separated when I was probably, I feel like I could in like third grade, but it took a while for the whole thing to finalize. I feel like it wasn't fully done until I was in high school.
So maybe those shows were like a place of solace.
But it was weird. Like I was like, I had this weird thing where like, so I was born in 84 and I've got two older brothers and I've always been nostalgic specifically for that period, like mid 80s into the early 90s. But even as a, like a two, like a 3 or 4 year old, I was playing with my brother's toys, which would be like Star Wars figures or Thundercats or whatever. I it was like weird that I was like already obsessed with like even a couple years prior to my birth, even as a child. So I guess I don't, something about that imagery or something really struck me. I think
there's been scientific evidence that a lot of times we're overly interested in when we were born, stuff that was happening.
Sure. I'm sure that this is very commonplace that I'm not sort of freaking anyway. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, especially, yeah, going into the biz and stuff. I mean, all the shows just like become part of our DNA.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. You can't escape it, you know, which is what I found so fascinating about the movie was this weird kind of, you know, he must finish this film that his abductors ostensibly forced into his brain. It's like, wait, that is a mind-blowing concept to me. And Faith said something interesting to me, that they were so happy that no one was mean to you when you kind of came out of this. There was that, we felt like the movie was potentially going to go in that direction, but this character was loved and supported but you didn't quite return it, although you had a real deep vulnerability, but you were also traumatized. It was really well played, man. You kind of had a lot going on.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like I've heard people mention that idea that they were, that even just generally speaking, they liked that it was, or surprised that it was just a pleasant feeling and like good natured or something like that. Yeah.
Well, even Matt Walsh, I mentioned to Kyle, I said, you know, Matt was really good. Matt's a very funny guy, but he just really, he just played it very sweet and straightforward and endearing. I thought he did a great job. And Mark Hamill, the great Mark Hamill.
Matt was great. I heard him on your podcast. That was a great episode, guys.
Thank you. What was it like working with Hamill?
Awesome. I mean, like, That character was pretty tough to cast, and like was the whole like producing an indie film was obviously something I had never done or making one and
it's a lot of work.
It was fascinating, like kind of seeing what the process is. It feels like casting is important to everything, but like it means a lot in terms of like to keep the financiers happy and to fill spots that just make sense for the movie to play, and so that it'll play like domestically and internationally.
So you pandered, really. You
just absolutely wanted, yeah,
like something that people would say and you wanted to make money.
But that felt like a role where it's like, oh, we should get somebody cool and specific and interesting. And it was tough also because there's this component of the character voices Brigsby Bear, or like kind of is producing the fake TV show Brigsby Bear and also voicing the character. So like we had to try to find somebody who could in theory voice act or like kind of create this cartoony bearish character. And it took a while, but we finally like somehow the idea came from Mark and he's perfect for it, I think. Yeah.
I thought of that immediately. I thought, oh, of course, because Mark's had such a, you know, successful voiceover career. I was like, oh yeah, I see why. And he was really good too. I mean, he played that. I did not see that turn coming of, you know, Spoiler alert.
Oh, that's great. I mean, that's the hope. That's ideal way of seeing the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I feel like there's a period of time if you haven't seen the movie, it doesn't count as a spoiler. It's been 2 years.
I feel like there's still a lot of people who haven't seen the movie.
Okay. You know what?
Yeah, way to go, Kevin.
If you haven't seen it,
good night.
Double B, Brigsby Bear.
You can spoil it.
It's available on Amazon, Hulu. Actually, I think it's not available on any of those. We rented it. So you're welcome. $3.99.
Redbox? Yeah. How did you see it? On Amazon or iTunes? Or
rented it on Amazon, yes.
Yeah.
Amazon Prime for $3.99.
I will. I'll get you back.
You'll hook me up. So what are you said you were working on. Can you say we're doing an animated project? What are you doing? out here. What are you saying?
Yeah, I don't know what I don't know. Like, this is, it feels
not
like
allowed to say.
Well, I'm right now. What I'm trying to say is that, like, I don't know why persons like me ever feel like that they have to be mysterious. You know what I mean? It's like a weird, yeah. I don't know that nobody's ever told me, like, don't say anything about that. I guess it just hasn't been formally announced. So that for some reason I get.
You're erring on the side of caution.
But yeah, right now working on like a thing that's animated and live action and.
Roger Rabbit 2.
Wait a minute.
Roger Rabbit movie.
Hold on.
Wait a minute.
Is there already a sequel?
Well, there was Tummy Trouble, I think it was called, which was like a short film that was maybe played before Honey, I Shrunk the Kids after. Mm. Or maybe it was on the VHS for Honey, I Shrunk
Didn't
the Kids.
Didn't see either.
But no, I don't think there's...
If anyone would know, it would be Kyle Mooney referencing a movie sure. from that era.
But yeah, it's I feel like we'll be talking about it very soon. So it'll become obvious to anyone who's interested. But
did you know that Kevin was up for Ant-Man? I don't know if you were aware of that.
I didn't know that.
I was cast in Ant-Man. I was cast. I have one other question before you go. Eli, my daughter, wanted to know if you will be returning as Baby Yoda. And she also wanted to know how long it took to do the makeup as Grogu
in the weekend. Great questions, Eli. Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, we only have 6 more episodes of this season, but I would like to definitely do Baby Yoda again.
I'm putting it out there in the world, you know, as they say, put it out.
How long does it take? Probably like, I think, well, it's somewhat dependent sometimes, the like heavy makeup effects stuff, because like if you're in multiple things in that episode, it feels like they can do it super fast. But if they have time, they take their time.
They'll take as much time as they have. Interesting.
So I think in that episode, I think that might've been the only thing I was in. So I, it's probably like, but they're all, the makeup team is so awesome and so fast and so good at what they do. It was probably like, I would imagine 20 minutes of.
Oh, wow. It was great.
Now the after parties for us.
I was going to say, do you miss the parties? I was just going
to. And then they always have the after party. But I have to ask you, have you been to the after party? Have you ever attended one of those? And what was it? Was it just cocaine with Dan Aykroyd at that point?
The closest thing would be, yeah, I feel like as the years have progressed, I've like every year lost an after, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No. You start
getting
off
older.
The party. Older.
But
it would be like my first year, it was definitely always the after party, then the after, which would typically be at like a bar that was rented out. And then I would say that the after would be like somebody's apartment, like coming over to my apartment and like smoking hookah or something like that.
Sure. Now, when you first kissed Lauren's ring at the after party, what was that like? You just walked over like, it was casual. And
I think the first show I spoke to him because I got that Bruce on the show. And he said something to the effect of like,
good job, kid.
I knew it was coming.
It was sort of like, you know, they're not always going to be wins or something like that.
Sometimes you're good and sometimes you're not.
But they're not always going to be wins.
It was pretty much in that realm. But he was very sweet. Lauren is very funny too. Like I don't know that everybody gets to see that, but he's super clever and witty. And
when you're still working on the show, he's the best boss.
Well, God, I mean, he's had the longest, aside from The Simpsons. Oh no, longer than The Simpsons. What am I talking about? Television show on the air, right?
Well, he had the great one where he went off for a while and let Dick
in the 80s
take over, and then it just tanked. And it was, I'll come back, and then I'll shave her. That worked, television.
Good work, Clark.
Look at the smug you get for being on the show, though.
That's nice. Focus is that real gold?
Is it real gold? Of course it is. Gold leaf, you know.
How has it been working during this surreal year? I thought you guys handled the remote shows really well. I mean, that was a challenge.
Yeah.
The end of last year.
Right.
Last season.
As with all this stuff, it's all been a surprise to us as to everybody else in terms of, I didn't know what the future of the show was going to be. It probably took about a couple weeks at least a week to learn that, oh, we're going to try to do these at home shows. And that was cool. There was like a learning curve of like, now everybody's kind of producing their own material, and they sent us, you know, like lighting kits.
And, oh, wow.
It was cool. I sent
Kyle Gass one of those.
I was going to say, can I get one of those lighting kits? Is there
you, lighting kit? You need it.
For sure.
But that's actually kind of in your wheelhouse, you know.
I think that content. Like, yeah, for somebody like me, it was nice because I love making stuff, and it was something I'd obviously done before, and those were fun. They were cool. It was, I don't know, I hate surreal, like everything else.
It's fucking crazy, upside down world, man.
And then coming back to the show again, it's just like having no idea of what it would be, really. How many people would be in the audience, like what we could get away, what we could do or couldn't do, how like protocols would affect the making of things. And the most surprising thing, yes, I think there's definitely a component of like, we can't all be on like the 17th floor on Tuesdays pitching ideas to each other and hanging out, which like so many seeds of things come from truly us just riffing or like passing somebody in the hallway and doing a dumb bit. There's none of that. We're all basically at our homes writing and Zooming or, you know, talking on the phone to pitch stuff. So some of that spontaneity is lost. With that being said, like the hours are way better this year. Like we're not coming in at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon and staying till 6 or 7 in the morning. You know, people are getting started at 10 a.m. when they can't, you know, like,
yeah,
it's a little more practical in those ways. And yeah, there's no after parties or anything like that. But I think the most surprising thing has just been, I feel like we've pretty much done the show. Like, it's like, I'm kind of surprised that it's not far off from what we were doing pre-pandemic in terms of what it looks like on screen.
Yeah, the set pieces are huge still. You know what I mean? I was noticing that. Just like the machinations of the show is like, how are they doing that during COVID?
I guess the smart thing the show does is that it, like, we do these this year, I guess one major difference was this year we're doing kind of longer runs of shows. So at the beginning of the year, we did 6 shows leading into the election. We just came out of a run of five shows. Typically, like, you don't do more than 3 shows in a row. So there's something to be said about it's been incredibly exhausting working so many shows, but there's less of a margin of error in terms of like people coming and going and flying to LA or doing stand up in Boston or whatever. We're in New York for a you know, specific allotted amount of time.
You're in your SNL pod. You're in your pod, you know. So you got 6 coming up and then we're done.
We just got 6 coming up. Yes. Yeah. We got 3 on, 3 off, 3 on, in case anybody wants to know when my hiatus is. Yeah.
Steven Spielberg, are you listening? Steven Spielberg.
I got 3 weeks, Mr. Spielberg.
3 weeks. Before we go, can you ask Lauren if Kyle Gass can play Biden now that we don't really have a solid Biden every week? Gass, what do you think?
I don't recall doing Biden.
Why? But I was hoping that maybe you could come.
Oh, that was you're teeing me up for the improv? Show me. Give me a little.
No, it's a tough one to do.
Alex Moffat he did it most recently. I feel like he might be coming back. Coming back to do it. But yeah. Kyle,
I always like Sudeikis, though.
I'm willing to make you a part of the show however you'd like. You can stay with me.
What? This is incredible. Are they even going to know which Kyle it is, though? I mean, are they going to?
I don't think they will.
You go hair and makeup. I will play your father, Kyle.
I guess I didn't.
You're going to be funny someday.
Now that you guys have had the opportunity to ask the questions, I am curious, Kyle.
Yes, sir.
How many Kyles do you know? I feel like you might be the
We didn't get this. I was the only Kyle growing up in my little world for a long time. There was only Kyle Rote Jr., some obscure soccer player. And there was nobody. And then all of a sudden, somebody, it wasn't me, but somebody, it just, the parents all got together.
Yeah, there was a flurry. I think you were probably if not the first Kyle I knew of in popular culture. I guess the South Park Kyle.
Yeah.
And I probably didn't know who Kyle MacLachlan was till a little after the fact.
Yeah. Twin Peaks? Well, that's right in your milieu, the 80s television.
It is, but yeah, I feel like I was busy watching Tiny Toons. So.
Should we establish an online community, I guess, of Kyle's is the last question that we have for you today, Kyle.
Yeah. Let me look up what Kyle.com is.
Kyle, yeah. That's going to be a... God, if we could own that.
Are you going to be? No, and my only question is, will you be bringing back your Howie Mandel impersonation?
Oh, man. Everybody keeps asking me, when is Howie coming back?
That's a good one. Who's your? Is that your favorite? Or is it Rand Paul? Who's your favorite guy to do?
Yeah, I don't know when I can bring Howie back, but truly, some of these, that was a fun one, though certainly I've never done a Howie Mandel before, and he's a lovely person. But that's a scenario where like you're writ like, hey, you're gonna be playing Howie in this. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
You don't have a choice. Yeah. Yeah.
Don't think about it too much.
I heard Eddie Murphy being interviewed and he was telling Arsenio Hall, like, I don't know how to do, when they did the original, Coming to America, he's like, I don't know how to do impressions. He's like, oh, when they get Rick Baker in there, puts on the thing and then just say the lines, you'll be fine.
Right. From the outside in. You know?
Also, yeah. I will say you guys should check out Kyle.com. It's
Who's there? Who got it?
It's just a dude with a laptop, to be honest, is the only thing that's on Kyle.com. And I'm assuming that's Kyle.
You know what? We can muscle him out. We can buy that.
Oh, that dude right there, Kyle. Oh yeah, look at that guy.
What?
Oh man, he looks like he's from San Diego.
He's the second friend on Friendster,
I
believe.
I like that one of the links on Kyle.com is change your name.
Well, that's inspiring.
I don't think. Maybe there's a Kyle.org. Should we look at that? Kyle.org? All right. We could go down this rabbit hole forever.
Yeah, we did it.
Well, should we you're gonna play him out, Gas? Play him out?
Do you have a request?
Kyle Mooney, do you have a request? Do you have a request? Kyle can play anything.
Kyle, could you freestyle some rap?
Oh gosh, for I actually feel very. I'm not going to freestyle, but I'll sing.
All right, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
It's time for me to go. Leave the show. I gotta go. And don't get me wrong. But I'll see you on Kyle.com.
Kyle. That's Kyle.com.
Thanks, dude. We love you.
Thanks, everybody, for coming to...
Did we do it? Did we do it? Kyle's and Kevin gonna shoot the shit. It's something, do it. Kevin and Cage, coming your way. That's what they always do. Did we do it?
Good night, everybody.
Like and subscribe. Please like and subscribe. It will really help me.